Welcome, everyone, to St. John's Christian Church. It is good to recognize and welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. How blessed it is to be together as the church and connected in as we worship this morning. Hopefully you made the change okay from the normal Sunday morning schedule till now. I was told the only thing we didn't take into account was Archbold's prom last night, so there's some people that are involved with that may not be here, but that is the way it goes with our schedules these days. At the end of our service of worship, we will transition into our time of special congregational meeting, to which all are welcome as we discuss and act upon the future ministry of St. John's. I invite Amy to come forward and share about Vacation Bible School.
Good morning. Vacation Bible School is just about a month away. Sarah, Mindy, Carrie, and I are asking for your help, though, with some donations. We have a display board set up in the chapel, outside of the chapel, that have mini rockets on it that you guys can take off to add donated items. We also have a QR code that you can scan for an Amazon wish list. Trying to be techie and all that fun stuff. Any donated items can be dropped off at the church office to Jocelyn, and she will put it with the pile of things that we have. We would appreciate your donations to be turned in by May 30th, just to give us a heads up for anything that we're missing. VBS is the week of June 4th, and we thank you for making it a great week for our youth. Thank you.
Our opening scripture today comes from the book of Acts. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Let us pray. O Lord, by your power, may we, with all the saints, the elect, comprehend the amazingness, the length, the height, the depth of the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, that surpasses our knowledge and understanding, so that we could be filled with your fullness, with your grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand if you are able, and let us sing our opening praise hymn. It is called This Joyful Eastertide. You'll find the words up on the screen. Let us sing.
Our Lord the Christ.
psalmist says, "Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me. If he had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me." In the strength of this assurance, let us now confess our sins to God, as we'll find on the responsive reading in your bulletin or on the screens. Dear Jesus, I want to be a Christian in my heart.
Please forgive my disobedience.
I want to be a Christian in my actions.
Please forgive my bad choices.
I want to be a Christian in my words.
Please forgive the hurtful things I say.
I want to be a Christian in my whole life.
Help me to be more loving to you and to others. Amen.
Hear the good news. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone, the new life has begun. Know that in Jesus, God embraces you, forgives you, and strengthens you to live a renewed life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let us sing our responsive hymn. It's called, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer." It is found on page number 506 of your red hymnals for those of you who wish to follow along in the red hymnals.
Thank you.
invite everyone to greet each other in the name of Jesus Christ.
I invite children to come forward for the children's message. Wow. You can be this quiet. That is amazing and wonderful. Remember this during Vacation Bible School when it's time to listen. There's plenty of times in Bible school to talk real loud and sing real loud, but it's good to see you all here. I have a bag of goodies. I don't know if you'll know what these are. They're knives, they're knife blades, and they're part of an electric knife. But I can't find the thing that it sticks into, you plug into the wall to make it electric. So it doesn't really do any good. There's a lot of people here. I have a CD in here, but without a CD player, I can't really play the CD, and I don't have a CD player in my bag. I have a battery, but I can't find my flashlight. The battery's good, I just bought it, but now I can't find my flashlight. See if I got anything else. Oh. Do you know what that is? It's a ring. It's a special kind of ring. It's a key ring. And it's made to hold keys, but I don't have any keys to put on the key ring. But it's a good key ring. And finally, anybody know what that is? It is a drill bit. And you need the drill to put the bit in to drill the hole. I've got the bit, but I don't have the drill. If you think about all of these items are good. There's nothing wrong with them. If I had a drill or a flashlight or keys or a CD player or the part that the knife goes into, they would all work as they're intended to work. In our Bible reading from Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, as we learn more about the Christian life, you are great by yourselves. You're good looking. I'm sure most of you are smart and intelligent. Some of you have talents that I don't, and that's what makes up the church. You're good. But Ephesians tells us if we don't have God in our life, we're missing something. And so in church, we worship God. We also learn about God because God makes us more useful. You can do lots of things on your own, but God makes us more useful for Him. Now, I've been focusing in on our 7th and 8th graders for confirmation, and we're coming, it's about 3 weeks away until 8 more youth are confirmed in the church. And I've been teaching them a little bit about this ministry, that we have to have God in our lives, and it makes us that much more better to serve. God loves us, God loves you, and He wants you to live for Him. You're good on your own, but God makes us that much better. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You for these children. We thank You for the ways that Your Bible teaches us to honor You, to live for You, to love You. May they continue to grow in their faith, to honor You and love You and live for You. In Christ we pray, amen.
So it's still the Easter season. We are still singing some Easter hymns. But as also we heard at the opening scripture, also exploring what happens after Easter. What were the apostles now doing? What were the disciples now taking part in, and how are they now living? For the next 4 Sundays, we're going to do a short video series, what was happening after Easter. And it's really going to explore the book of Acts. So this is the first section of Acts, and then each Sunday we'll add a new part. So I'll just ask you to sit back and listen and enjoy the video.
One of the earliest accounts about Jesus of Nazareth, his life, death, and resurrection, was written by a man named Luke.
We know it as the Gospel of Luke, but Luke continued the story in a second volume,
called the Book of Acts, and it's all about what Jesus continued to do after his resurrection.
Acts begins with the disciples, who are hanging out with Jesus, who's just come back to life, which is mind-blowing to imagine.
And then for weeks, the risen Jesus kept teaching them about his upside-down kingdom, the new creation that he launched through his death and resurrection.
This is exciting stuff, and the disciples are ready to go tell the world.
But then Jesus tells them to wait, and to stay in Jerusalem until they receive a new kind of power, so they can be faithful witnesses to Jesus and his kingdom. Then he says that their mission is going to begin in Jerusalem, then move out to Judea and Samaria, and then from there out into the nations. It's like a roadmap for the whole book of Acts. Then the disciples saw Jesus enthroned as king of all creation.
So the disciples wait, wondering when this power is going to come. And then comes the time of Pentecost.
So this is an ancient Israelite festival. It's during the early summer, and thousands of Jewish pilgrims would come back to Jerusalem from all over the world, all these different languages and cultures colliding in the city.
And the disciples are together in a house, which is suddenly filled with rushing wind, along with fire. The fire splinters off into tongues of fire hovering over people's heads. What's this all about?
Yeah, so Luke is tapping into a repeated Old Testament theme. When God's presence showed up similarly at Mount Sinai, he made a covenant with Israel and gave them the Ten Commandments. Then later, when God's glory came in a pillar of fire, it filled the tabernacle when he came to live among them.
That was just one pillar of fire, not many.
Exactly. Luke's making an important point here. This is God's personal temple presence, God's spirit that was foretold by Israel's prophets. And now it's come to take up residence in the new temple of Jesus' body, that is, his people. They've become little mobile temples where God now dwells.
And they start to tell stories about Jesus, but they're speaking in languages that they didn't know before, yet all the visitors can understand them. What's this all about?
Well, Peter gets up to explain that this is the fulfillment of Israel's hopes based on the scriptures. God's plan was always to use the unified family of Abraham to bring peace and justice to the world. But the tribes of Israel had been scattered because of the exile. Now, here at Pentecost, representatives from all of the tribes come back together and they're introduced to their Messiah, the crucified and risen Jesus, so they can now become the restored people of Israel.
And thousands of them start following the way of Jesus.
Which brings us to Luke's tale of two temples. So you've got the temple that Herod built in Jerusalem, where Jesus' disciples worship like the rest of the Israelites. But now there's also Jesus' temple, which consists of people. This temple's meeting together in homes all over Jerusalem, and they were approaching life in a radical new way.
Right, think about it. Many of these pilgrims aren't even from Jerusalem, so they formed these new families, and they're all depending on each other.
Yeah, people would sell their stuff, provide for the poor among them. They ate their meals together. They said their daily prayers together.
They were learning from the apostles what it meant to live as if Jesus is the true king of the world. And it must have been exhilarating.
But it wasn't all fun and games. Being God's temple is serious business, just like in the Old Testament. So you might know about that strange story in the book of Leviticus about two priests who disrespect God in the temple and then suddenly die. Well, Luke includes here a similar story of two disciples who dishonor God's spirit in this new temple, and they suffer a similar fate.
So there's corruption in the community. But the bigger problem is coming from the outside.
Yeah, from the other temple. Its leaders are threatened by this new messianic movement, and so they arrest the apostles, they try to stop them. And this brings us to the final story in the Jerusalem section of Acts. We're introduced to a new disciple, Stephen.
Oh yeah, Stephen. He's on fire. He steps up as a leader among the disciples to serve the poor, and he would go to the temple courts to teach people about the way of Jesus.
So the temple leaders arrest Stephen, and they find false witnesses to accuse him of dishonoring Moses and of being a terrorist who's threatening the temple.
In response, Stephen gives this powerful speech about how predictable this whole situation was.
Yeah, he retells the whole Old Testament story, highlighting characters like Joseph, Moses, and the prophets, people who are consistently rejected and persecuted by their own people. Israel's been resisting God's representatives for centuries, and so their rejection of Jesus and now of his followers is a rejection of God himself.
They get angry, and they start to execute him by picking up rocks and smashing him to death.
And as he's dying, he commits himself to the way of Jesus, to suffer because of the sins of others. He even cries out, "Lord, don't hold the sin against them."
This is basically what Jesus said at his death.
Exactly. Stephen becomes the first martyr of the Jesus movement, with many more to come. But this persecution contains seeds of hope, which is why Luke introduces us to a new character here, a religious leader named Saul. He stands over Stephen's dead body and even approves of the whole thing.
Wait, Saul, you mean the man who becomes the apostle Paul?
Yes. Luke is showing how even this tragic murder can't stop Jesus' kingdom. And so many persecuted disciples scatter out of Jerusalem, and just as Jesus said, they head into Judea and Samaria. Now, the story of what happens there, that's what the next section of Acts is all about.
You can stop it there. Like I didn't mention before, but this will all be leading up to our celebration of Pentecost and then what it means for the Holy Spirit to be with us as we then go out. So the next four Sundays we'll explore this. So we'll continue on with sermon scripture.